Simon Love here at Triple M, the Cure on Get This. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome aboard. It's myself, Tony Martin.
Hello, Tony.
Ed Campbell is here. He's working on a new segment.
Now, that frightens me.
And pushing the buttons, Richard Marsland. No, Richard, you're playing the wrong part.
Just putting the cart before the horse.
We'll be back at the same time tomorrow.
Fantastic.
We're not winding up yet. Still 3.5 weeks here to go to get this desk. So many requests coming in for things people want to hear, not just over the next 3 weeks, but on our last ever show.
Oh, man.
What are we going to hear then? That Warwick Tampa business.
Oh, the phone call. Rich's phone call.
That was brilliant, Rich. We'll get
best thing ever.
Okay. Probably on the 23rd, they'll get a trot out. But we really do have to contact Mr. Tapper himself. Start dialing now, Rich, because we couldn't get him yesterday.
Well, his phone rang out. Yeah. I shuddered to think what he was up to. But
let's see.
Here we go. Yeah, okay. Third time lucky.
How busy can he be?
These videos don't make themselves, Tony.
They don't send themselves either.
That's true.
Yeah.
Oh, is that Warwick Tampa?
Maybe. Who's asking?
Tony Martin, Ed Cavalli and Richard Marsland from the recently axed Get This on Triple M.
Recently axed? You should have got me on last week. It wouldn't have been axed, idiot.
That's what I said at the meeting. Warwick, straight to business. Where's the video that Ed Cavalli ordered a few weeks back?
Coming out soon. It's going to be excellent.
And I know it may well be excellent, Warwick, but where is it? I've ordered it weeks ago. When is it coming out?
Coming out today, it's on all Sexyland video shops around the world in Australia.
Simultaneously?
So,
yes.
The one that I've ordered on your website, I now have to go into Sexyland to pick up. It's a great system.
Well, you need the exercise, mate.
Fair enough.
Heard that. It goes for 70 minutes, and it took 65 minutes to do my hair and makeup.
It's having to make do with dial-up on newporn.com.
And, Warwick, what is the highlight of that 70 minutes?
Probably me playing with myself and the toys.
Yeah, I think that's what David Stratton said on the movie show. He gave it 2 thumbs up.
Probably the money shot, having my heart waxed.
Yeah, lovely, lovely. Now, how's the campaign for Mayor of the Gold Coast going? We are right behind it down here at Get This.
Everything's going well.
Yep.
Campaigning for Mayor.
What are your policies, Warwick?
I've got a few policies. I'm going to lower taxes. The rates are too high.
No, you're not having a bit of Me Too action, are you?
I'm going to clean up schoolies. Get rid of parking meters.
Yes.
Even though I used to be a meter maid, that was only for 2 days. I got a bit over that.
And what about our idea of just wearing the meter maid gear with a sash with mayor written on it for the entirety of your term in office?
I like that one. That could work, Tony. You, Tony?
Yes, right.
I love it like a brother when I'm from Tasmania. All the mirrors on the Gold Coast, they can do your hair at the traffic light.
That is.
Warwick.
Because I was the most beautiful footballer in the world, Tony. You know that.
We've heard that. I don't know where I heard that, but I did hear that.
You're shaking your head here. You're not happy with me.
Where's Yobbo's up the guts, Warwick? What's happened to that?
Yobbo's up the guts. Well, it's been in the pipeline for 6 months. Jacko's finished it.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on.
Bring it out in January.
So you've left the editing to Jacko, have you?
Oh, so yeah, good luck. Jacko's going to be the next fluffer on our porno.
Oh, he's the next fluffer on your porno,
yeah,
that
yeah.
is.
Yeah, wow. Christy.
Footage has to match, remember?
So,
Jacko's that ugly, he'll make a train take a dirt road.
Hang on, you're saying there's a second porno on the way?
Yeah.
You didn't use all your material in that 70 minutes.
No, it's actually a threesome. It's me and my hand in the mirror.
That Meryl tears is as good as yours!
I can't believe how funny I am, though. I'm just sitting here with Christy. She gave me a massage and I'm giving her one. And I'm feeling good, Tony.
Okay, I hope the cameras are rolling.
Yes, I've got a bit of a bulge in the pants and I'm feeling good.
Now that's a slogan for Mayor. Warwick Tampa. I got a bulge in the pants and I'm feeling good. Vote Warren.
Thanks to Triple F Tampa and all Sexyland video shops.
Yeah.
And the slogan is, Tony, let us stick it up you. Come on, a brick.
Right, we heard how Jeff Fennick described it. Did you hear that clip?
What did he say to asshole?
The guy that was in that magazine getting up his missus.
He can't even talk. I love you all.
Yeah. Warwick, we have to ask.
No, I like Jeff. He's not a bad guy. I've done some shows with Jeff.
Warwick, as I mentioned, we're out of work now. Are you looking for any deputy mayors up on the Gold Coast there?
I actually am. I actually just bought a
porno company's Red Hot Dancer, we might need some more people.
Hang on, Warwick, between the existing porno tape, the new one you've mentioned, and buying the porno company, I mean, when are you going to have time to show up for work at the mayor's office?
Sure, like it's next year.
OK.
Yeah, no rush. Yeah, but it's going well up here. I'm at the Marriott at the moment, having a Chardonnay, looking over the water, so life's quite good at the moment.
Okay, Mr. Mayor, good to see you working on those policies.
Yeah, get out the 16 videos and get a copy and do yourself a favour. Fantastic doing.
All right.
Thanks, Warwick. Good to talk to you.
And thanks for all the fun you've given us over the last 2 years, buddy.
I love you like brothers, but I am from Tasmania. Thank you very much.
www.capital.com.
He was lying at home getting a massage from Christy and he was giving her one.
Yeah.
But later on they'd moved it to the Marriott and having a Chardonnay.
Over the course of a 4 minute interview.
Yes. When you're doing promotion for the video that's available entirely around the world and Australia, things can be very busy. You forget where you are.
I love how I've ordered a video and now I have to walk in the sexy lab and go, just so they can see my face. You know, guys, I'm here for the, yeah, not for the Warwick camera. No, I won't take one of those, but thank you for asking.
Get in the queue. All right, that's good stuff.
He is great.
Leave a bit fresh.
I reckon he's going to do it. I reckon he's going to be mayor, and I reckon Jeff Fenwick's the deputy mayor.
No, you know what I like? You know, we finish up in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Warwick Kappa's got heaps more work than I do.
That I like. Who's laughing now? Let's talk fashion. Let's do that next. I'll get this. Around the nation where the great prizes keep on coming.
31 new maternity and gynecology beds and 3 new delivery suites.
That could be yours.
It could.
And the emails keep on going.
The old gynecology suite is really getting old and tattered now down at my house.
Get that sorted as quickly as possible. So many emails. I go through about 400 or 500 a night. And then I do my short list of ones that are so good they have to be read out on air. That's usually 70 or 80 per night. So if we're not reading out your email, please don't be offended. There's just so many. It's hard to know where to start. We're getting emails from Norway.
Ooh, hello to everyone in Oslo and other cities.
This is Ivar. He's calling from Norway. He listens on the internet. He says, I'm Norwegian. Yes, you have listeners here in the land of the midnight sun and the home of the finest scallop industry in Eastern Europe.
Wow.
Eastern Europe?
Northern Europe. Yes. For mine.
Eastern Europe's more your... Czech Republic, Poland, Hungary,
Romania.
Then the fictional countries, of course, the Ukraine.
I'm really enjoying that. We should have a country name off one day, Rich. You and me.
I was in trouble in Africa.
Gabon.
Yeah. See, what are they going to do when we've gone for country name offs? They'll be bugging, won't they?
They will.
So many requests. People love it when we talk fashion, because nobody knows more about fashion than radio announcers.
What have you got there, Ed? Summer's coming, and there's so many new looks which are coming out. And I had a look in the Adelaide Advertiser, which is where I go for all my fashion.
It's him.
Yeah, sure. Yesterday they had an exclusive 400 guests at the Exile Boutique to show what the rich and famous will be wearing next winter. Right. I'm happy to report, Tony, that the mini skirt is back.
Oh, yes.
And this season, the hot items are the gold mini skirt, leather culottes, Hessian lingerie, imaginary pants, and a Marlon brand see-through Perspex boob tube.
Fantastic. You got any evidence of that?
I would in the next break.
Yeah, that's good.
Would you like it now? Well, what I can say is that Rich has been throwing a lot of parties recently,
as
you know, but that's just not enough for the man himself.
No.
So he's decided to open a resort where you can enjoy
fun, excitement, sometimes a little bit laid-back atmosphere, places to shop, of course, great dining, clubs, and most of all, to check out the hot men in nothing at all.
Okay. Yeah. Even more disturbing is that clip of the things you're typing into YouTube to find these clips.
Well, I had one of the tech guys had to fix my printer. And I said, he's like, I'm going to go into your computer. I'm like, that's fine, that's fine. Listen, mate, there's a lot of stuff on YouTube there. We don't need to discuss that with the other people in the office, do they?
No, it's work-related.
Let's not worry about that.
All work-related.
Hey, cat.org.
Okay, wearing nothing at all, that's not very good for Fashion Week. This time last year, this very day last year, so many people have emailed in to tell us. Listen to that. People have noticed the satin caftan day.
Oh.
Remember those satin caftans they had sold in the women's bags? I think Greg Fleet was here that day. Someone wants to hear this moment. We have received a package from Capcor. Now, if you received a package like this in the mail, what would you do, Greg Fleet?
What would Greg Fleet do?
I would probably open the baggage and whatever was inside it, put it on and wear it.
Wow. And how long would you wear it for? The whole day?
Yes. Yes, wow. I would. Yes, I'd wear it for the whole day.
You'd want it to be something comfortable, wouldn't you?
You want it to be something that was a bit, that on a day like today, you'd want it to be free for
me. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, it's got shells on it.
It's pure Saturday Captain.
Got calorie shells.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, look at this. And the tag says, one size fits most.
Leopard for you, Marsland.
Cheers.
Which one did you boys said you wanted?
I want the cowrie shell.
Do you want this one?
I don't care.
Okay.
Don't care.
Now that leaves me
with a little fella I like to call Peacock.
Is this so sexy?
Oh, we're in the cowrie shell.
Can you hear this on a microphone?
Oh, that's
sexy. You're listening to the satin sounds of Triple M.
I'm wondering why this segment is called What We Greet Fleet.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because if I received the package in the mail, whatever it was, I would open it up and I would put it on and wear it.
It looks suspiciously like a moo moo to me.
The show went downstairs. Someone from sales saw him in a caftan and a sports jacket, and the police moved him on.
That's right. He was actually escorted from the building while claiming, "I'm on a show." That's great, but not that funny. You know, it's just kind of interesting. There's something funny there, Rich. Listen to this from Philip Taylor. Why is it that every time a sandbag falls on your show, it hits plums, but the Prime Minister gets away with a plum-free plummet? So he's wanting us to drop a sandbag on the Prime Minister's plums. Is that entertainment, Evelyn?
Yep.
Really?
Where I come from.
Plum town. Give it a go.
There we go.
Oh, me plums! Oh, I'll just sit down on this bear trap. Oh, me plums again! Oh, I'll stand over here by this electric heater. I'll just position myself in front of this tennis ball machine. Hailing plums! Oh, thank God I didn't leave those fireworks in my underpants. Happy now, Philip Taylor. Oh, you shook me all afternoon long here to get this on Triple M. And remember, if you haven't got the right product, your business will go down. You need good, fresh ingredients to bake the best cake.
All right, Ray.
What's
shouting at me?
And we've got the best cake here. It's called the Nissan Navara.
Oh.
It's 4x4 magazine's year to the year.
Yeah.
We mentioned that enough. You know, because no one else is the year to the year. No one else can be the year to the year.
Exactly.
Fool.
I'll learn them.
Ample grunts. That's what it's got. Ample grunts.
Have they put that phrase on the...
Yeah, I think so. I would have thought Nissan would have had that up on a billboard by now. They're saying ample grunt. You know, I take advantage of that. So. Anyway, you know, you can attack the weekend the way you attack the work day. Keep that in mind.
Absolutely
important to know. I'm just looking for emails. We've had so many requests for things I don't even remember. Where's my pint? Now, this is from Martin, my lord.
Oh, yes.
Before all me plums, there was where's me pints?
That's what I've taken from, was it Bless This House, which is Isle of Arles?
Yeah, was it? No, that was from
Arbor.
Yeah.
Keeping Up Appearances?
Yeah.
Just the one.
One I missed above that. It was one of those, that's what it was. But listen to this quote here. David Styling from Para Hills West, South Australia.
Yes.
You know where that is?
I know where it is. Very close to my first community radio station, PBFM. Hi to all the guys.
Yeah, he'll be back in 3.5 weeks. He loves using the Where's Me Pint catchphrase. He's actually named his local tennis team the Where's Me Pint International Tennis Club. We play Tuesday nights in Adelaide and have won at least 10 trophies or premierships since we started in 2000.
Not bad.
Well done. There's one of our sporting teams. What about Lawsy's gig? Glenn Nolan is one of many who are saying, "Get this, should just move into Lawsy's old stuff."
We don't have to hate a bunch of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Young people.
You just take a more uncompromising approach to old Sega games and Steven Seagal movies. But he said many of your segments could be adapted What about for the older listener, prelude to a soiling?
Oh, lovely.
people are paying attention. Tom Thumb, also of South Australia, says on page 165 of Tony's book, Lolly Scramble, the phrase, get this, is used. Doesn't say that we're going to be axed. I don't see how that's a prediction.
Great premonition.
Maybe he's forming the phrase, will be axed, from other words.
Not bad. I don't know. Well, perhaps you've done a kind of a beautiful mind trip.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
There's a lot of that. What kind of mail are you getting in? Just food stuff. That's not mail.
Here we go. This is time for a plug, Tony.
Oh, plug.
Yeah. Now, Shandon Pitches.
Oh, yes. I've seen the first two episodes of this. Very good.
Starring Rob Carlton, our co-host for tomorrow. First episode's got me good self in it.
Yes.
And one Goody Woody Sampson.
Yes.
Bit of a preview tonight. We were up in Sydney last week. Tonight we're in Melbourne at the Hoyts High Point Shopping Centre from 6:30. If people call in and talk to Seth, shoot us some filth, get a double pass.
Okay.
To a TV, you mean the filth bit, though?
To a TV show.
Yeah.
How does that work?
Never mind. That was for you to pad to find the email you wanted. Did it work?
It did indeed. Lisa Irwin loves Greg Fleet jumper pants concept.
Mm. Have we got that moment, Mr. Markland?
You want me to wipe my beak? Because I've got something really
messy.
I did this the other day, and it occurred to me that I'd done it four other times in my life.
Yep.
And I'm now going to start trying to bring it large style to the general public. Sure. I almost came in here doing it.
Right.
But what it is, have you ever been in bed, for one reason or another, someone knocks on the door, or you've got to get up and do something, you get out of bed, it's a bit cold, you look at your jeans on the floor, then you see your jumper on the floor, and you go, I'm putting on jumper pants. Have you ever done it? Where you just get your jumper, and you put your legs in the armholes, and you pull it up, and it is so comfortable, and so excellent. Jumper pants truly rock. And you just walk around with your jumper on upside down. Now, obviously, if you really want to take it to extremes, there's also a hole there, which I've never used.
Yeah.
But that could be possible.
It's a neck hole, obviously. You need a turtleneck for full modesty.
Well, I've done it with this jumper that I'm wearing, which is kind of a long neck deal. But I tell you what, jumper pants rock. And you put them on, it looks weird. It looks a little bit fawny, because your legs are very tight. So you look a little bit half man, half like goat action. And I beg you, people who are listening, I've done it. Did I ask an audience or not? About six people find out here. I've done it. And I asked this one woman, why have you done it? I was a little bit pissed and a little bit cold. And I went, and a little bit lazy with you here. And I went, that is so excellent.
Your reasons all check out here, madam. Congratulations.
Look, and the other thing is, I'm going to have a shop called Jumper Pants. It's just going to have about 1,000 jumpers in it. And people will come in and go, I thought you sold jumper pants. And you go, we do. And you just hand them another jumper. Or you go, we do. And I go, oh, I have some pants as well. And you go, sorry, I don't sell the pants. And you point to someone else who sells them the identical jumper. And it also has a thing. Turn your smile into a frown. Turn your wardrobe upside down. Jumper pants.
If you do have some jumper pants on and you want to send us a picture, get this at triplem.com.au.
Oh, it's just, there's something about just jumper pants, as they're known in Germany. They're just pretty rock.
Matt Dower has cooked up a jingle for your fantastic product. When you smile into a frown, that's not a good thing, is it? It just rhymes, so we were so dazzled we didn't bother to analyse the content.
Part of the problem. Here we get this.
Would I call it Never On Air? Yeah, it gets it on Triple M around the nation.
So much to get through. What have you got there, Ed?
Well, Tom, you know, we're always going on and on about sport here.
How we don't know much of this.
Well, how we don't know much in the world that we don't understand. But I come across this. Richard and I came across it, which is a really heartwarming tale of romance from the high-pressure world of sport. Look at this. Michael Clark, cricketer, credits bikini bombshell Lara Bingle.
Now, let's, once again.
Okay, it's a sports segment.
Richard, I don't want, let's just keep going, see how we go.
We're giving him his fresh life purpose on and off the field. Yeah. I think the person I am today now has got a lot to do with Lara.
That is the last one. Okay.
It's not gratuitous.
This is not filth.
I'll end on.
Sorry.
They made their public debut at a couple at the Alan Border Medal Awards ceremony at Crown Casino. Last time, okay, I'm gonna just push on. The blonde model lives around the corner from Clark in Sydney, and now they are talking about moving in together. No.
That is over. That story is over.
It's not that kind of show.
Unbelievable.
Do you think people would be sending in beautiful emails like this? Mm. If in fact, look at these emails. Where's the ones about Richard?
Okay.
Straight to there.
I saw one on petitionspot.com.
What happened on petitionspot, Rich?
Well, this is just an intimate insight into our listeners. I'm not really listening to this. So, Richard's, tell Richard Goose says hi, and that he's sorry for cracking onto his sister at his 21st. But, I'll let my brother take the rap because we all look similar, but no, it was me. Red House, put your bins out, signed.
It would have been Chris Godfrey. He says, I've got a suggestion for a new job for Richard Marsden. Has he ever thought of becoming a lifeguard? I am currently doing a lifeguarding course, and there is a method of saving an unconscious swimmer called the tea bag. I think he'd be great at it.
Is that for someone who thinks he's faking? Because that'll make you real smart.
Just go to SWAT and look.
Look, I'm a fine outfit. I'm fine.
Very dark.
Sorry.
I also think Richard would enjoy the constant use of lotion and showing local swimmers his patented Turkish grip. Here's what Phil Minge of New South Wales, not the Phil Minge of Adelaide, often writes into the advertiser, says, I reckon Richard's apartment has been made to look like the set of Roe, except on all the screens it says Marsden. He then hosts the imaginary show as if he were Roe, but with no audience or cameras, just of comedy style.
Yes, well, as you know, Tony, I do have an applause sign in my house.
That's true, but it's more of an order.
Yeah, it's applaud rather than applause.
See, I started talking, I wasn't supposed to talk about what his house is really like. There is one genuine detail, an applause sign from the set of
Wheel of Fortune, which was given to me.
Isn't that on the ceiling above his bed?
That's what I couldn't work out. What's it doing there? And it's not applause, it's applause!
Applause!
You're right, applause!
I'm moving into the toilet for a big night.
Yeah, and here's what Minjo says you should have for segments on your fictional show. Instead of what the, he has what part of my body is this a photo of? And in the ad breaks, he lotions up and slides across the floor, upskirting the female guest.
That wasn't what I was going to talk about at all here.
Oh, I'm glad you did, though.
I had important matters, but here's a request from one of our co-hosts, Tony Wilson.
Oh, we love Tony Wilson. He wanted to hear the time that several catchphrases and segments from this show were actually mentioned in Parliament.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
We taped order in the House. You have to turn the radio up. You can actually hear references to this show in the background. Check it out.
If I didn't say it, I'll say it now, Mr. Speaker. And I think it's very important, though, that, as in all of these things, we don't sort of zealously embrace a particular report or a particular piece of analysis. Let me simply say to the member for Brainler, exactly. And the first and most important thing you do when you respond to something is you don't expose your mind to one important option for the speaker. And the important thing, nor Mr. Speaker, what I believe that it does not comprehensively embrace all of the world's major events.
You
cannot have an effective response to global warming. We would, Mr. Speaker, we would be assuming obligations.
Minister for Foreign Affairs.
Mr. Speaker, the answer is that I do more than
commit to the
government. But it doesn't in any way all of the substance of this debate. Sure,
Australia's not
the original Kyoto Protocol, but we never ratified it. And the reason we never ratified it.
We never really had won.
This inane mantra of the Labor Party at the present time
is one of the Labor Party's won. But we never get more.
If we are
meant to be
increasing climate change,
this on Triple M, although what do you reckon the start of that song sounds like? Yeah?
Give it another run, Rich.
We don't need to hear the whole thing again.
Sorry, it goes forever.
Groundhog Day. Don't forget to get this album, Illegal Download. Now, people are saying, you know, sorry to hear that you're going off the air. This is Ian Murphy of West Rye.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nice to see you're selling the illegal download album in order to finance the cardboard boxes you're going to have to be living in next year. I'd like to point out, it's not being sold. It's free.
Mm.
Just go to the website, download the album we did last year. Yes. Only 1,000 copies made. Now you can make your own copy. All the cover art is there, so you can make your own cover. And the booklet now, Nicky. It's at top shelf, isn't it?
Mm. So I go back to Murphy's original point of making some cash for the boxes that we're going to put in. At this rate, we're going to have to share a box.
That's a big, of a new way to do it. Because people were saying we should do a proper big art, you know, get this album. But we could have done one, but it would take, like, a couple of months to do properly.
Yeah, yeah.
The podcast are kind of like the world's longest ever comedy album.
That's the idea.
And the lawyers clear more and more of our old musical sketches. There's going to be some treats popping up in the Get This podcast. I think one goes up today. They're coming thick and fast, Monday, Wednesday, Friday at the moment.
Okay.
Until we finish, that's enough paperwork.
Oh, thank you, sir.
I'm exhausted by all that admin.
Mm.
Let's have another spooky round of Talkback Mountain. Original Haunted Studio. Ed, what was your premise for the segment again? So scary I shat my pants. Oh, hang on a second. Are the kids out of school yet? No.
No.
Right, do we have a sound effect for that? So examples of that, like what was something now or
like in general in your life?
Anything at all, if you have an example here?
Well, yeah, when I was in high school, it used to rain sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing days.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you'd have to go inside to watch a video. Now, as I've said before, sometimes we have to watch less than zero when we're in your age, which is a real fruit fest. Robert Downey Jr., absolutely on the juice, right? But anyway, one day we wandered in and the PE teacher was standing there. He's like, all right, I'm going to sit down. I'm like, yep, less than zero, sir. No, it's about time you kids watch something real. All right, hit it. Lights went off. And then I could hear like, they sound like they're struggling. And we had to watch a tape of a woman giving birth. A child's head
is
slowly put it back and forth as he insisted on.
Oh, what were you using the remote?
No, the PE. He was.
Well, this is the bit you want to see. The kids' face looks like rubber. Rubber-faced kids, eh? Rubber-faced kids. Cool. Hey, are your kids?
It'll be placenta. There's a placenta.
You could eat that. You could eat that.
You serve them in the canteen.
This is your woodwork teacher.
It's a PE teacher.
Well, okay, we didn't have that guy. Something used to frighten me, and also one of our listeners, where is he? Oh, this bloke's Steve Crawford. He writes for a very fine Region 4 DVD site, Michael DVD, on the internet. He's reminding me of the show The Evil Touch, which I think we talked about last year on the show. It was an old sort of anthology horror show, more sort of Tales of the Unexpected, hosted by Anthony Quayle, and him standing in a room full of smoke going, there's a touch of evil in all of this. And then sort of wandering out through the smoke, presumably trying to find his way to the exit. But they had plot lines. And the one I always remembered, and Steve here has mentioned it as well, you mentioned the episode when Jack Thompson and his girlfriend get bricked up in a small room. I was fairly young when I saw that episode and have had nightmares about that scene for years. That brick wall over it, and Jack would have been safe. I remember thinking that when I was a kid. Like, someone's there with, like, wet cement and just troweling the bricks on, and Jack Thompson's looking through the last remaining crack. Hey, I'm stuck in here. You can just push it. It's going to fall over. A single wall of bricks. Still terrifying, though.
I just heard that Eddie Murphy was in it, and it was supposed to be pretty good. Oh. I went along to see it, but the moment about 15 minutes in when I realised it was a musical. The but then they started singing their way through the plot. Yeah. And then I went, oh my God, this is actually a musical. I've been stuck into a musical.
Yes.
Into Dreamgirls. Mm. What, something else?
It didn't stop you from having that Dreamgirls theme party that you were invited to.
Trying to drag up the High School Musical in costume.
A few months after my nana passed away,
yeah,
I was a big fan of bananas.
Okay,
a banana in the kitchen moved to its own free will. It's a clunking sound of the pantry closing, and we went into the room and the banana clearly bounced off the pantry. How did that happen? I swear, you can talk to my mum about it when she comes in next to the show.
So how far had the banana travelled?
It was a good metre or 2 metres.
Just fell off a shelf and rolled along the floor.
But how do bananas fall? They don't have any movement. There's nothing there.
But they're weighted, Rich. If the top of a banana and the bottom, if it gets over its little axis, it'll roll.
Yeah.
No, because... Well, okay, you've been to a shop.
Yeah.
A fruit and veg shop.
I've been to many fruit and veg shops. Yeah.
There's heaps of bananas there. I've never seen them.
They're constantly falling, Rich.
Can I put it out?
Constantly falling. It's like Niagara Falls around the banana stand, man.
What's the matter?
Getting dark out.
Sorry. We're going to continue this off air.
Point, counterpoint, bananas. Do they roll? Only get this. It's going to tackle the big issues.
Okay.
Call us now with anything that makes you pack your stride.
Okay, dovetailed with can bananas roll.
Dovetailed. 133 53. Body Rock is here to get this around the nation on Triple M. It's Halloween. Scary stories. Just picking up your story, Mr. Marsden. Your grandmother has been moving bananas in a...
Well, that's what...
In a pantry.
Yeah.
Okay, now, so the premise is that she's got, you know, powers that she can exercise from beyond the grave.
Infinite powers.
Why wouldn't she just write a note? I'm still here, look. Love you, Grand. Why is she pushing a banana off in another room?
Maybe she felt like a banana from the other side.
Yeah.
You know, they're pretty moorish.
Surely ghosts can still write. They can move a pen. It's me, I'm a ghost. I know this is a bit creepy. You're probably going to be freaked out.
Have a banana.
Yeah, have a banana on me.
You've seen ghosts where Patrick Swayze tries to kick that can.
Yeah.
And he just can't do it.
Yeah.
Maybe it was her, you know, first attempt at moving something.
Yeah.
Maybe there's other things happening.
There was a documentary. We'll get to it later. We've got so many great callers on the line. Who's going first?
Ali Ann.
Hi. Hi, Dan.
Oh, hang on. I think the ghost may be playing havoc with your phone line. What is your scary story, sir? Madam. Wherever you are.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Great. Okay. My mother and I was watching Coma, the movie, with the scariest thing really is Michael Douglas in it, but that's beside the point. That's not my part. The scary thing was there's a scene where she's about to be raped or something by this machine, and just as that was happening, we're wondering what's happening, and we're getting ready to scream anyway, and all our power goes off, completely black.
Creepy moment during, obviously, just film critics from beyond the grave. Coma, rubbish.
Get this off. All right, thanks, Ian. G'day, Teresa. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. Talk us through your scary story.
A few years ago, I was sitting at a friend's house. We were all playing cards. There was about five of us.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, we heard this squeaky sound. And we listened for a second, and we heard it again. So we went looking through the house, and we found this, like, you know, them squeaky hammer toys, the blow-up ones?
Yes.
Found one of them in the hallway closet. So we thought, we'll take it out. We just thought something must have been, you know, pushing up against it or whatever. Yep. So we took it out and put it on the lounge, started playing cards again, and it squeaked again by itself.
You think it must be a ghostly dog, because if it was a human ghost, that's pretty piss poor, really. Again, why not write a note?
But hang on,
you can move objects, write a note.
Sorry, did say it was a big hammer, and that is fairly impressive. Thank you very much. Nice to talk to you. Finally, Anna, how are you?
Me, Anna?
Hi, Anna, how are you?
Hi, I'm okay. But I think I got it wrong. I just didn't realise it was Halloween.
No, I'm happy to hear your story, no matter what. What have you got?
You know we'll accept anything.
The thing that creeps me out the most is the skin on milk when you heat it up too much.
Fingers and just,
you know. No, it's disgusting. I can't even think. I can't even talk about it. I shouldn't remember it all. And the other thing that creeps me out.
Yeah.
I probably shouldn't say this, but what? The fact that you got axe and not the.
Come on, we're all friends here. You're crazy on milk skin, Anna. You're loopy on the milk skin.
We've got to be careful, Anna. We still want to stay on.
You have, and that's very kind of you. Richard's grandma will be around to throw a banana at you any minute now.
We're trying to be polite to the rippers off here now.
Thank you all. Nice to talk to you, Anna.
Yeah, I know that skin business. That is very.
That's
very creepy.
Yeah.
It's like the in a movie when they have quicksand.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's clearly just water with some breadcrumbs on the surface.
All these breadcrumbs are pulling me down into the water. Yeah. It's harder to look like you're actually getting dragged down to try and drag yourself out. Very big croutons have got me right where they want me.
Thank you to everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
Call. We'll be back in what looks to me like the remaining of this hour.
We wait, hope.
Can't believe how funny I am today.
The second hour brought to you by the Mrs. Navara. Is there anything more frightening than Wayne Hope's shower scene in episode one of The Librarians tonight?
I hope you're proud of yourself, Wayne Hope. Look, I only think you're on tonight's episode for, I think, 4 seconds and 12 frames. You're not only very vigorous seconds.
Yeah.
I can't like the clap at the moment. Four seconds.
That'll be the lifetime achievement clip we see at the AFI. It's great this show's finally engaged. I think we've possibly oversettled it on this
show. Yeah,
the burners on it.
Well, it was first settled in April, I believe, on the front of the show.
It wasn't even played.
Your band stopped shooting. How's it going?
I don't know. And it's on tonight on the ABC in the old Chris Lilly vibe slot, the old summer high tide.
That's right.
But I feel weird saying that because I don't want people to think that it's anything like summer high tide.
Look, to give you an upfront with all of this, Chris, so it's brilliant. It's in your face. Jonah does say the F word a lot. Mm-hmm. I wonder if there's a quote that someone would know. There'd be someone who knows the amount of times Jonah says the F word in summer high tide. I'm sorry to disappoint you, but we say it once in this episode.
No.
You'll have to tune in as to when that is.
Ah, good.
I've used it, you know, wisely.
That's the name of the haystack right there.
That's right. So I'm going to force you to have, if that's the only thing you find funny, you're going to have to wait through a lot of stuff.
But I wouldn't want to suggest that your show is in any way in good taste.
Let's not mislead people in that direction.
No, not anything going.
No.
We disguise the fantasy.
Yeah.
It is great when you or Bob Franklin, or, well, not so much Bob Franklin,
well,
but
you know, he's good for profanity or
something. Yeah, he is, I believe. He's got his own personal quota. But whenever someone from the librarians comes in, it allows them to open the kid this big
one. Yes.
And that hits. Well, what?
Intellectual? Is that the word?
Let's cut it out.
Yeah.
Book reading types.
You'll love this hour of Get
This. Moment here at Get This. It's the second hour on Triple M.
Nasty and downright boring.
That's what should be written in Latin on our logo, Mr. Martha. Please welcome Wayne Hope.
No.
We love hearing a bit of riff, and it tends to motivate us and motivate our listeners.
Well, he hits it with a gusto, everything in life. Do you think he gets, you know, goes to the milk bar and all this?
Right? Two milk, bread, paper, and a fat cigarette. I think we've got a bit of
his work here.
Now, I am really concerned, not for my future, because Lynn and I have mapped that out, and that's private, thank you very much.
Right.
But I'm concerned for the game and the next crop of broadcasting puppets. Yes, you, Ferret, who had to try for 6 hours to talk up a game that has become boring and far bits from the good old faith and spirit of Aussie rules. I was born to sport on this table, both 13, selling it in and then through guts and hard work, ran onto this great arena.
And just two sugars, thanks, while you're there.
Yeah, Rex, can we go again? Just a bit more, thanks, mate. Just a little extra because
That's the sort of motivation you need. Now, Wayne, you're not just one of the writers and producers and are briefly in The Librarians, also the director of the show.
That's right.
Now, I know you've done a little bit of directing before on the Stories from the Gulf on SBS, but how was it day one on this show?
Day one, for those of you that haven't directed a show at the ABC, day one is slightly terrifying in that... I didn't think the ABC still had as much equipment as they do. And we, it's terrifying. You see these five Isuzu, is that the name? Trucks, kind of, yes, 10-ton trucks back up almost towards you. And, you know, men get out with equipment and then they just stare at you. My dear mate, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
Build some stuff? What do you want to do? Quick, we're doing the 7:30 report in a minute. So, what do you got?
Yeah. And, you know, when you got your first day's footage back, you know, looking back at the rushes, was it what you thought it would be?
Rushes are weird because I reckon for the first week, rushes, you know, every day, even the following day, you get a pile of DVDs of what you shot. And I reckon for the first week, I just kept saying, I'm sure, it's the same, but you think it's going beautifully and everything's working a treat, and then you realise... You're only just thrilled that something's actually been recorded.
The fact that it's actually come out.
Yeah.
Come back from the chemist and you can see what it is.
It could have been footage. The camera could have been pointing at the floor and I would have gone, yep, that's good.
Great floor work.
Very happy with that.
It's not just that joining the bits up and realising that no matter how much fancy cutting you do, you can't make people talk quicker. That's the thing that I discovered.
That's the one thing you can't really change.
No, you cannot speed up Bob Franklin.
No, that's true.
He occurs in real time, or his version of real time. And you can go to the network and say, how about 33 minutes? And they'll go, no, we've bought a half hour. And you go, yeah, but Bob's in it.
Okay, Bob, we'll leave an hour clear. We'll have no can we help this week.
Now, Wayne, we said this before, but I think it has to be underlined. It's not summer high tide.
No.
What is it for people who don't know anything?
Look, it's a story across six episodes, and it's not so much to do with librarians. It's a place we found where we can put a whole lot of dysfunctional characters. I hung out at our local library for a couple of years when our kids were small because it's an hour and a half of free babysitting.
There you go.
Story time. Everyone should be honest about that. We all think we're doing the right thing to read.
No.
Off you go.
Yeah.
With some poor... librarian who's, you know, 22 and has 400 kids and 8 junkies who are asleep around. We thought this was the perfect
But that's
setting.
A pretty good junkie to librarian ratio.
As libraries go, that's pretty good.
We're in a good area.
We're in a very good area. And we thought that was a great place. And then we had this character, Francis O'Brien, played by the Mrs., who... We love playing around with this passive-aggressive characteristic, and it was a perfect opportunity for comedy because there's people that pretend on the outside that they're fine with everything, and everything they have to say comes out the side of their mouth.
Yes.
So, and we love these kind of characters. So you know, looking at you, Tony, the most, you know, this person might look and go, you still think experts work, do you?
Yeah. Okay. You didn't consider my mother for casting. You could have sent a show reel. 4 or 5 hours of just that.
Well, that was the thing. Most of all, what my mum said. You know, the amount of crew that went, that's my mum. Mate, that's my mum.
Yeah.
And so there's this quality
let me give you an example that is exactly that from my mum's handbook.
I noticed you weren't involved in the dish.
That did really well at the box office, didn't it? Maybe you should have stayed working with those people.
She'll actually say that in front of a large group. You're off microphone, Mum, before saying that.
I know. My mother's very similar, and she's out of radio range for this show, so I'm happy to throw this in. She said when Shirley Strawn
passed away.
Yes.
About that, she said, well, you know, you're good with the good work and things. Why don't you give that a go instead of mucking around with yourself?
She saw Phil's death as a career opportunity for you.
Yes. Where I'm writing half our comedy, and she says in the same vein, oh, well, you could get some work as a handyman on a reality show.
Oh, that'd be good.
And sort of slides that in as if that's positive reinforcement.
No, but it is, as you've proved in your series, a great source of material. I tell you who else is a great source of comedy material.
Alexander Downer.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you think?
Oh, it's hilarious.
Let's prove that next. I'll get this.
Keep you in the dark, you know they all protect. Keep you in the dark, and so it all began.
you, Richard. Thank you, Foo Fighters. Thank you, Wayne Hope, our guest host in this hour. The Librarians tonight on your ABC at 9:30. Is that right? 9:30. After the Chaser.
Now, it's a cracking cast.
Tone and Wayne.
Yeah. You've got your Robin Butler.
Get the rumour mill going.
And if you get the part.
Oh, man. Well, same way Bob Franklin did.
Right.
You're Joshua Lawson, your Hardy Arena.
Just about you.
Yeah. Josh, fantastic.
Well,
fine. No.
He's hit and miss.
But you can cut around him.
That's the beauty of it.
Now, the other thing, though, is how odd is it, I guess, like our final week, that you're sort of timing out to be in sync with the election campaign.
Exactly.
So you're up against, you're competing with the Downers and the Abbotts.
We've got a similar build because we're building for the election in Australia, and in the series we're building for Book Week.
Okay.
And it's quite a similar type of event Australia-wide.
So well, it's got a similar tension to it. That's a good excuse to step into the Get This Book Club. We're going to do that next, but in the meantime, speaking politics, requests for things we've played over the last 2 years. This is from Jude Little of Noble Park North in Victoria. She wants the time Alexander Downer had trouble putting his shoes on. I cannot remember what it was. We've been racking our brains. I think this is what she was talking about. Remember the wheat board scandal?
Yes.
Do you think people
still can't eat wheat?
People might be able to remember that when it's election day.
Let's give it a crack.
Is that going to be a factor? I don't know. Here's what Mr. Downer had to say.
I'm very confused. I mean, they send lots of things to my office. I can't read them all. They send letters. It's like 100,000 letters a day. I'm supposed to read them all. And, I don't, I go on the plane, sometimes they let me go up to where they drive the plane. The other one, the Prime Minister one, he's got people helping him, but I'm just in my office, the foreign business office, I have to put my own shoes on, and sometimes they send a man in to help with the laces, but I can't be expected to know everything that's going on. Sometimes I can't work. The door on my office, it says pull, but sometimes I push it and it doesn't open. I'm having someone come in to teach me about that, to do it properly. I can do a funny voice. I can do an impression of Kim Beasley. Here we go. Hello, I'm a big fat man. That's it, see. I did that at the SDN thing. Well, that was karaoke night, I think it was. Had all people talking different words from different countries. I couldn't understand them. There was a piece of paper on my desk, and it said some words about the bad things that the people at the wheat factory were doing. Well, I'm not sure what wheat is. I think it's in bread. They must need wheat in overseas countries or something. So they put some money with it, and then the people buy it or something, I don't know. And there's the one, the Saddam one, I don't like him. He was living in a hole with no money or wheat. He didn't have anything. I called them and I talk. I said, hello, is that the wheat man? And there's a voice coming out, and it said, I'm from the Department of Wheat. And I said, you're doing bad things, aren't you? I've got a piece of paper that is casting suspicion. And they went, no, we're not. We're doing good things. And I went, okay, sorry. I won't call again. And I called up the deputy one, Mr. Vale, and I said, what's the thing with the wheat man that he's doing wrong? And he said, I can't recall. And I said, what's the business with the letter? And he said, I can't recall. I said, who are you? And he said, I can't recall, I've no idea. I was very confused. And I went and sat in the corner and was very quiet. And then the man came and they took me home. And I had a nice glass of milk. And then someone tucked me in and said, everything's going to be all right.
Well, thanks, Mr. Downer. This commission thanks you for your time.
Here and hear this blue.
please, let's get into the book club. Give us some fancy music, Rich. Our co-host Wayne Hope, the director and co-producer, co-writer and occasional star of The Librarians, ABC Tonight at 9:30 after The Chaser, before you switch over to SBS for Newtopia. It's a tricky old guy.
It's a good lineup.
It sure is.
So Aussie comedy's looking good, Tone.
That's right.
Great. If we get the knockout back on, we'll be right.
Now, the reason Wayne is sitting in your chair is because he's accessed the internet. And there's some sort of book quiz on the website for the Librarians. You can't find it. It's crashed, has it?
No, I'm on the Librarians website, which you can go to by the ABC TV website. Mm-hmm. And the Librarians site is there. But I have a computer here that I think is yours.
It's mine.
From 1976. I have to say,
you know what this sounds like? This sounds like every time I go to my local library and try and use the computer there. That's pretty much what happens.
Is
that what we're going to do today, Wayne? We're going to talk about library stories.
I think library stories, because just on the internet, one of the things that we found out about with the internet, it's free internet, the library. I mean, we wonder why there's... Every time you go there, there's thousands of people. They're not empty spaces. You get the paper for free and the internet for free and heating and cooling all year round. You know, that's got to be a bonus for a lot of people.
But you're saying people are getting on there and accessing hotplumpers.com.
There's a lot of hot plumping going on. And they're not allowed, because of freedom of speech, they're not allowed to edit. So,
cool.
So what they do have is when someone logs on to hotplumpers, a little warning comes up. Excuse me, Plumpy, hands off. And
can I claim research, Wayne?
Can I claim research?
I gave that a very good go, and they still said no.
Research in a trench coat, Mr. Hope?
I don't think so. But this is gold, because I do find it is a very sort of erotic area of the library. It's very quiet. Yes, and I always remember at school my stepbrother coming up to me with a big stack of National Geographic.
Oh, yeah.
And going, look at this, check that out, look at those. Mm. And I'm going, well, we've got this one at home. I've never seen that picture before. And me and my stepbrother worked out that our parents were getting the National Geographic before us and cutting out the norgs.
Oh.
Cutting the norgs out of the National Geographic.
The whole page or just the norgs?
It was brilliant. It was forensic style work. Because when we got home and ran the comparison, we go, oh, look, they've used a scalpel or something. I can't even notice the page is missing.
Oh, so it's a whole page. It wasn't just a little circle.
No, they weren't talking like that.
That would be cruel.
So that was a great discovery at a library. I remember you telling me, Ed, about your local school library is very popular because people were shooting a porno movie.
Absolutely right. They would often be shooting pornos next door to my school. And I was... All of a sudden, Wayne, I was like a library nerd. It was incredible.
Because you could only see it from one window.
From the reference section.
Yeah.
And those encyclopedias. They were never more full of information than on those days, right?
Shooting pornos next to the school library. What innocent days they were.
It was beautiful.
Mr. Marvin, I'm sure you've done many illegal things in a library, but your facial expression is telling me we are running late.
Yeah, possibly.
Call us up, listeners. Sorry. Tell us what's going on at your library. 133353. Yes, it's on Triple M around the nation. Wayne Hope from the Librarians tonight on the ABC is sitting in. I don't think it's been mentioned enough in this hour that we are brought to you by the Nissan Navara, the ute of the year, the 4x4 of the year. Here's the sound of other 4x4s. That's right. On the bus. Wayne Hope is here. He knows all about books and librarians. So let's meet the library customers. Who's going first here?
G'day, Michael.
G'day, guys. Here you come.
Excellent. What's going on in the library, bro?
The old days at school, we used to have a public phone just inside the door, and as you walked in there, the year fives used to grab the handset and wrap the cord around your neck and try and choke you.
Did you manage to get away from them, Michael, or still got the scars?
Oh, no, I got away from them. One of the kids was his first day there, and they got to him the first day he was at school, and he didn't come back again.
Oh. Now, in order to keep the segment literary and classy, Wayne, do you have any questions from the librarian's quiz over there?
The librarian's quiz, which you can find online on the librarian's website.
Yeah, you weren't
expecting this, Michael. Do you want to tackle a question?
Oh, I'll give it a go.
Can you go a question? And the results, we'll do it as a team, and the results come out and you get equated to a character from the show. And if you do really badly, you could end up with the equivalent intelligence of myself and Bob Franklin.
Oh, dear.
That's online. That's what you can do online. We only have time for one question.
Yes, okay.
Which George was a man? Which George was a man? George Eliot, George Sand, or George Orwell?
I'll go to the last one.
George Orwell.
Correct!
Yes. That's right.
That wasn't a bad guess, was it?
Not bad, Michael. I was confused there. I thought you were saying which was a woman. Because it was George Eliot was a woman.
Yeah.
But it was the middle one.
George Sand.
George Sand.
It was George Sand. See, I don't know that.
Because I thought you, George the Animal Steel was a woman as well.
Confusion. George McEncroe was a woman. It's very confusing.
Can I give, squeeze another quick one?
Well, let's get the next caller.
Susan, good on you, Michael. Susan, are you there?
I am.
What's going on in the library?
Well, I used to work in the library industry, and the librarians, the nice, quiet librarian is a myth, unfortunately.
Really? What do you mean?
Well, they're little party animals. They're a bit freaky.
Behind
closed doors. Very strange.
I heard they pull the pin on the bun hairdo and whip those lovely pearls off and go like there's no tomorrow. Sorry, that's the sound of non-fiction.
All right, Susan. Ready? Wayne's going to lay the question out there.
Susan, the Dewey Decimal System is named after Melville Dewey, Huey Dewey, or Mervyn Dewey?
Melville.
Melville Dewey is correct.
It's Huey Lewis.
Hey, Susan, guess what?
Yes.
There is no prize.
Not even one of... Come on.
Nothing.
No dice.
Literary piece of...
Everyone knows Melville Dewey.
Okay. None of the other callers are clean enough to go to air. I am informed.
Here's the last question.
One of you two, and look, if you, the two of you can't get this, there's something wrong. In the film version of The French Lieutenant Woman by John Fowles, who plays the title role? Helen Mirren? Meryl Streep? Or Julie Christie.
Oh, it was Rodney Dangerfield.
Yes,
Meryl Streep. Yeah. We all know that.
Once you get back onto movies, we're fine.
What is the French Lieutenant Woman about?
No idea.
Some chick in France.
And the reason these questions are there, because in the show, one of the episodes, that book, The French Lieutenant Woman, is defaced as the French Lieutenant Bosom.
Just in case we're getting a bit highbrow, we would just balance that and give that a reference.
In the show, you will see the French Lieutenant Bosom.
Thank you very much.
That's some sizzle right there on your ABC. But, you know, what are we doing next?
Okay.
Political correctness gone mad. Don't you love that phrase, Wayne?
All right.
Let's hear it next on Get This. Thank you, Ben Lee. Here at Get This Around the Nation on Triple M, Wayne Hope is sitting in for this hour, and we're sort of winding up the show in 3.5 weeks. I think people know that.
Mm-hmm.
A big feature of this show over the 2 years has been Today Tonight. They've contributed. Are you a fan of Today Tonight, Wayne?
I forgot to watch for the last 10 years, but that doesn't mean I don't like it.
And, you know, we were sad to see Naomi Robson go. She was a big part of our show. And we said if she could just be more like she was in that YouTube clip, where you see her kind of cracking jokes with the crew.
Yeah, tearing scripts off the story.
Very human.
Oh, yeah, really?
It was great. You're going to be like that for a whole show.
Mm.
It's called Loki material. The real nose.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay, but political correctness gone mad, also a concept that was appealing to us. I think we've got a clip here, being requested by a few people.
Yes, can you hear that? Are you coming? They're on to Blackbuster. As you stuck up my ass for 2.5 weeks now, what do you know? During that time, the Warren was a spot.
You can understand his frustration, can't you? Now, if you needed further proof of how political correctness is being taken to ridiculous extremes, how about this?
This is Dr. Dick Swinney from Bessie Mel's Imperial Occupation, the notorious national pornographer and army banned from over 55 countries and the subject of 19 competing extradition orders on charges of extortion, sexual enslavement, and supplying an unspeakable quantity of alcohol to a minor. Here's Dr. Von Bessie clearing customs.
genocidal maniac and musical plagiarist strides unhindered through the arrivals lounge. Past ordinary Aussie battlers, completely oblivious to his history of drug abuse, stock fraud, and a depraved adherence to a code of sexual behaviour abandoned centuries ago due to the high rate of asphyxiation. He's being taken aside. Can it be because this unrepentant harbinger of filth, manslaughter, and black market ballistics just happens to be wearing a t-shirt depicting a harmless Enid Blyton Gollywog? Yes, it seems no one is safe from the forces of political correctness. Did our diggers fight and die on the Kokoda Trail to protect a society where a simple lunatic with a string of psychosexual episodes, failed businesses and botched transgender surgeries to his credit, can no longer wear a shirt depicting an innocent child's nursery story? Today, Dr. Dick Sandy Ron Bessie, tomorrow, well known for the ideological non-politicalness, vodka and political correctness, choose to mow down next. Probably a young child.
Yes, does that mean if your name is Dick Fanny or Bessie that the political correctness squad is going to ask you to change your name? If you know of any other cases of political correctness gone mad, please leave the details on our website.
Today is the day tonight. I'm sitting here typing you an email in the news. As nervous as I was in my office this evening when I was shocked to see my secretary recoil in horror as I merely offered to open a door for her. I shudder to think of what our Aussie diggers would think of a land where the armed forces of political correctness have caused a simple act of noble, if-bollock naked chivalry to be rendered offensive. I'm sure the young madam will see reason, and possibly my genitals, when Dame Political Correctness is finally and rightfully ushered from the room. Yours in remand, concerned viewer.
Thank you, Will and Lemo, coming in next week. Hope we get the librarians off 9:30 tonight. ABC TV, that's right, and when it's finished, when you see David Stratton's beard on his belly, that means it's time to switch over to SBS for Newstopia, which of course is finally written by Richard Barnes, so we're told. A title card off our tea phrase today, courtesy of our special guest, Warwick Gamba.
Got a bit of a bulge in the pants. I'm feeling good.
Okay, but political correctness gone mad, also a concept that was appealing to us. I think we've got a clip here, been requested by a few people.
Yes, can you hear that? Are you coming? Well, it's a duckbuster. Oh. That's been stuck up my arse for 2.5 weeks now. And what do you know? During that time, the Warren loses his spot.
You can understand his frustration, can't you? Now, if you needed further proof of how political correctness is being taken to ridiculous extremes, how about this?
This is Dr. Dick Sweeney von Bessie's non-imperial occupation, the notorious Nazi pornographer and armed man from over 55 countries and the subject of 19 competing extradition orders on charges of extortion, sexual enslavement, and supplying an unreasonable quantity of alcohol to a minor. Yes, Dr. von Bessie clearing customs at Sydney Airport on Thursday. Genocidal maniac and musical plagiarist strides unhindered through the arrivals lounge. Past ordinary Aussie battlers, completely oblivious to his history of drug abuse, stock fraud, and a depraved adherence to a code of sexual behaviour abandoned centuries ago due to the high rate of asphyxiation. He's being taken aside. Could it be because this unrepentant harbinger of filth, manslaughter and black market ballistics just happens to be wearing a t-shirt depicting a harmless Enid Blyton Gollywog? Yes, it
seems no one is safe from the forces of political correctness. Did our diggers fight and die on the Kokoda Trail to protect a society where a simple lunatic with a string of psychosexual episodes failed businesses and botched transgender surgeries to his credit and no longer wear a shirt depicting an innocent child's nursery story? Today, Dr. Dick Fanning from Bessie, tomorrow, well known for the ideological non-political mess, what car of political correctness will choose to mow down next? Probably a young child.
Does that mean if your name is Dick Fanning or Bessie that the political correctness squad is going to ask you to change your name? If you know of any other cases of political correctness gone mad, please leave the details on our website.
Dear Today Tonight, I'm sitting here typing you an email in the nude. As nude as I was in my office this evening, when I was shocked to see my secretary recoil in horror as I merely offered to open a door for her. I shudder to think of what our Aussie diggers would think of a land where the armed forces of political correctness have caused a simple act of noble, if-bollock naked chivalry to be rendered offensive. I'm sure the young madam will see reason, and possibly my genitals, when Dame Political Correctness is finally and rightfully ushered from the room. Yours in remand, concerned viewer.
Thank you, Will and Lebo, coming in next week. Hope we get the librarians off 9:30 tonight. ABC TV set up and take the action right when it's finished. When you see David Stratton's beard on your belly, that means it's time to switch over to SBS for Newstopia, which of course is finally written by Richard Marshall, so we're told. The title side of our tea break today, courtesy of our special guest, Warwick Gamba.
Got a bit of a bulge in the pants. I'm feeling good.